Well, good morning. I hope everyone has enjoyed the holidays, giving thanks to God, spending a great time with the family, eating some delicious food as well. But the Bible says that man shall not live on bread alone. Yes, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we're going to feed our souls a little bit this morning. I've got a couple points that I'd like to share with you, and hopefully it will encourage you from the scriptures. As you can see there, in Genesis 2, the Bible says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for man to live alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'" So from the very beginning, God understood that we needed a relationship with him. Today, my lesson is close friends. From the very beginning. I don't know if I can turn this here to see a little bit better. It helps. The definition of a friend, according to dictionary.com, is a person known well to another. So think about your closest relationships. What took for them to become your closest relationships? It's a question, by the way. A couple things. What do you think it took for them to become your closest relationships? Yes.
Spending time with one another.
Need more?
Lots of time.
Perry?
Trusting each other.
Yes. By the grace of God, Michelle and I, we celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary a couple of weeks ago. Emphasizing by the grace of God. And it all started actually the Saturday after Thanksgiving in 1994. I got baptized, and Michelle was my first day in the kingdom. Yes, actually the brother who baptized me picked her to be my first date, so I owe this brother a whole lot. No, not only he taught me about God and helped me to get saved, but he introduced me to my now wife for 20 years, and I'm very grateful to God. It all started 20 years ago, a Saturday, actually after Thanksgiving, 1994, and I fell in love not too long ago after that first date. It was just, you know, dating as brothers and sisters in Christ. But I remember the very first date. I remember that I used to shave. I was a full-time student, but I used to shave on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays. You know why? Yeah, church. I was going to see Michelle. So some of the single brothers here, you might be single because you might be looking at your hygiene. You know, take a shower. Shave, that'll help you a little bit. So I was on a mission here, you know, to become the closest male friend Michelle had. And I'm going to let any other brother do that. So the dates were off the charts. There was not one brother who could beat me when it comes to putting a great date for Michelle. I remember for a couple of months, we're splitting on midweeks, brothers and sisters. And then the brother, he was living with me, and he would ride with me. And right after the sermon, I would sneak out of the brother's room and go to the sister's room and say, excuse me, until I got to Michelle. And then my roommate was wondering, what do you do? Every Wednesday night after the sermon's over, you disappear, then you come back, you get me, we go back home. And then one day he followed me, and he said, "Got you. You sneak out, you go and say, yeah, the Bible says encourage one another. That includes encourage your sister." So all these actions showed that I had taken initiative with Michelle because I wanted to become her closest friend. I've got a couple points today. The first one is close friends with God. In Jeremiah, the Bible says, their leader will be one of their own. Their ruler will arise from among them. I will bring him near, and he will come close to me. For who is he who will devote himself to be close to me, declares the Lord. Here is God longing to be with us. And we are like God as well when it comes to relationships. If you're a kid or you're an adult or even an older adult, when we come to a new place, sometimes we ask, who will be my friend? And here is God searching for those who will want to have a close relationship with him. I remember coming to the U.S. in the early 90s as an international student. And my parents, they took the initiative, worked very hard, sacrificed a lot to provide me with that opportunity. I also took the initiative to leave my country, my family, and my friends, to cross the ocean, come to the U.S. to pursue a college degree, to pursue my personal goals, to pursue a better career. As a matter of fact, from the outside, everything looked perfect. I was young, with money, living by myself in America, had a brand new car, pursuing my college degree. But inside, there was emptiness that I could not figure out why. It does not make sense. Everything looks well from the outside, but the inside is empty. And these two scriptures, they reflect my spiritual condition at the time when I was pursuing my personal goals, but not God. In Genesis, it says, now the earth was formless, empty, darkness. In Ephesians, it says, remember that at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promises, without hope and without God in this world. Even though I had everything a lot of people in Brazil would like to have from the outside, in the inside, I was empty. It was without hope and without God that I was living in this world. Until God put a disciple of Jesus in my life. I remember growing up and loved hugging my dad. He would hug me. He would kiss me. Kids, it's okay to hug your dad. It's okay to hug your mom. I know it wouldn't look cool, but it's okay. It's good to express your love for your parents. And just to make sure all of us here are not in a turkey coma, I've got two math questions for you this morning. One is, what is 1 + 1? The answer is? Okay. Now, you've got a second one. It's a little bit harder. It's up on the screen. Give me the answer for this one. The number of all stars in the universe times the number of all grains of sand of all beaches on earth times the number of drops of water of all oceans on earth. And the answer is?
Yeah.
How much I love you. Yeah. You cannot measure it. And that's what my dad used to verbalize and send it to me via email. This is how much I love you and much more. And when the disciple started teaching me about God's love, like it says in Ephesians, it says how wide, How long, how high and deep is the love of Christ for me? I saw God took initiative as I studied these scriptures. When Jesus died on the cross for me, individually, there was an opportunity for me to have a friendship with God. God left us the Bible. When we read the Bible, it's God talking to us. When we pray, it's us talking to God. And I knew and learned about God's immense love for me. But the question asked was, how am I going to respond to this love? How am I going to respond to this initiative that God has taken? It was clear there was either God's way or my way. God's way, eternal life. My way, eternal destruction. There's a song that says, God came into your life and your history changed. And from that point on, in 1994, my history had changed. I learned about God's love. And that his arms are open wide, like this picture. This is how much God loves us. This is how much God wants to be with us. Lately, I've been studying now the book of Genesis. And as I was reading in Genesis, it says, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. I don't know if you've played that freeze game. You just stay. And when I read that, I was like, God made me from dust. But to dust, I will return. I got to make sure that I'm right with God. I was watching the movie this week, the Thor movie. And there's a part in the movie that he's talking to his brother. And then Thor says to his brother, you could be so much more, but you chose to stay the same. And his brother was struggling. Do I go for me becoming number one and have all the power fighting for me to be the number one? Or will I join Thor and fight for justice? To become a disciple of Jesus, one cannot stay the same. The Bible says clearly, you need to carry your cross daily. Crucify your sinful nature daily. As it's stated in 2 Corinthians 3:18, we need to continue being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. I remember at the end of last year, beginning of this year, asking brothers to help me how to be a more patient father and more patient husband. And I was thinking about the terms ungodly and godly. And it really hit me because I started thinking about, if I behave like this, is that a godly behavior? Or is it an ungodly behavior? Be impure, it is ungodly behavior. Be impatient, it is ungodly behavior. God has called us to be godly. And this picture at the bottom here, where Thor is with his brother, actually, is towards the end, where the brother repented and started fighting on the same team as Thor to create peace. And I asked myself, which team I'm playing for? God's team or Satan's team? If I say I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, but I'm following my sinful nature or Satan's instructions, whose team I'm actually playing for? It's about seeking God and having a godly behavior. We cannot stay the same. I have to break this news to you today. Just because one becomes a disciple of Jesus The sinful nature does not go away. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like that. It's kind of wishful feeling, you know, it's like that the sinful nature is going to go away. But you wake up in the morning, you see the temptations, and we come to realize that the fight against the sinful nature will be until the last day on earth. So we better put on the full armor of God. There's a song that says, Lord, I am just a man. I need your power to guide me. I need your spirit to guide me. The greatest victory of all time is not to have the U.S. Open trophy or the Augusta National's green jacket, but the greatest victory of all time is that when you can get at the end of the day, realize that you gave your best to overcome your sinful nature. A song says, bear your cross as you wait for your crown. We want the crown, but we do not want to bear the cross. We cannot have the crown without first bearing the cross. That is, crucifying our sinful nature daily and living a godly life. The fight will remain until the very last day. At least we know that now, and that we can prepare ourselves daily. Amen. Here in Matthew 17, the disciples could not heal a demon-possessed boy. And Jesus replied, saying, because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will be moved. Nothing will be impossible for you. And I had to realize that there's just some changes in our lives, in our community, in our city, that can only happen through the power of God, through the reading and the practicing of the scriptures, through prayer, through the help of the Holy Spirit, and through the one another relationship. Often we see in the Bible people seeking Jesus, but for physical healing. Sometimes we do that ourselves. We seek Jesus, asking for physical and sometimes financial help. But the question for us today is, do we seek Jesus for character changes or just for us to have a more comfortable life? Jesus wants to help us. He wants to change our condition from spiritual death to spiritual life, from darkness to light, to change from defeat to victory, from shame to grace, from fear to faith, to change from sorrow to joy, from bondage to freedom, from mourning to dancing. Do you believe in this? Do you believe that there's nothing in your character that God cannot change? Nothing is impossible for God. But the first step for character changes is to seek a close friendship with God. And briefly here we see Abraham. Wherever he went, he built an altar. In James, actually, it says that and he was called God's friend. Separation in the context of relationship is very painful. Actually, I'm originally from Brazil, so my family is in Brazil. And Michelle's family is in the U.S. So when I'm here, I miss my family. When we lived in Brazil, Michelle missed her family here. It's a very complicated situation when you have family in two different continents. But it's painful. My mom says, missing you does not kill me, but it hurts. God does not want a long relationship with us. He wants a close relationship. I was hanging out with my son and Michelle and one of his closest friends. And at the end, we drop him off, his friend, back to his house. And the little boy said, "I had a great time, but I sadly must go." And I was like, man, is that my reaction when it comes to spending time with God? I had a great time, but sadly, I must go. Being a close friend with God. Sometimes we need reminders. And here in Genesis, God is reminding Abraham. The Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." Abraham was rich. God blessed him with riches. God promised him offsprings. But God comes to him and says, "I am your very great reward." Life to the full is when we have a close relationship with God. In Luke 6, Jesus says, "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven." Not on earth, but in heaven. There's nothing in our lives that can compare to eternal life that God has promised us. But the question is, do we live our lives in such a way? Or are we pursuing material blessings? So, are our daily decisions getting us closer or farther away from God? Think about it. Are you ready to make every effort to be close friends with God? Are we ready to make changes to be more like Jesus? It starts with a daily decision to be close friends with God. May we have the hearts of, "I want more of God and less of this world." And the second and last point is close friends with one another. Our friendship with God is the most important relationship, but it does not nullify the need for the one another relationship. In Ecclesiastes, the Bible says, "A cord of three strands, that is, God, you, and a spiritual friend, is not quickly broken." It is God's perfect plan to use imperfect people to help one another get to heaven. Are we convinced that we cannot make it to heaven on our own? And briefly, I'd like to discuss types of people who can help us get to heaven. You might have had these people in your life already, or you will if one day you want help to get to heaven. The prophet, or Philip, besides pronouncing divine revelations, one of the tasks that the prophets had was to make known to men and women the nature and attributes of God. In Acts 8, we are familiar with this passage. It says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. So this is the prophet that God put in my life. As you can see, we look alike. Correct? Actually, he used to pick on me. He used to say, "You can't dance and you cannot sing." And I'll say back, "You can't kick a soccer ball and you cannot surf." I have no, artistic skills whatsoever. And I would pick her. You have no athletic skills whatsoever, man. Yeah, you better make a living as a, you know, singer, because if you're going to sports, you're going to starve to death. This is Derek Lynn. He's the one who reached out to me last year. I had an event at Georgia State. I actually took my son there and brought him to the very spot where I was invited to show him this is where all started. Dr. Pope. Yes, he was leading Georgia State, the Georgia State ministry back then. He did the scene study with me. So he knows all the bad things about me. But I love Derek and Burrell and a few others that they really loved me, had faith in me, even when I didn't even have faith that I could live the life of a disciple. They believed in me. And I want to encourage us too that sometimes we get too caught up with the numbers. A brother was sharing with me the fact that I've been a disciple for 15 years, and the only person that I invited that became a disciple was a woman. And this is a very close friend of mine. I told him, you know what? You have to remember that we've had so many conversations that you helped me to remain faithful in the faith. So the truth, I believe, is that every prayer that we offer, every encouragement that we give for our brothers and sisters, every scripture that we share, we are bearing fruit. We are helping each other to remain faithful. So do you have a prophet in your life? I'm talking about one-on-one relationship. I'm not talking about going to church and just listening to what the person in the pulpit says, but you yourself is studying the scriptures and knowing God. The other one is the soulmate. This is me and Michelle, back to the same spot when I proposed to her 20 years ago, a couple of weeks ago. And God said, it's not good for men to be alone. And he gave me Michelle. She's the perfect disciple to help me get to heaven. Her love, her kindness, my weaknesses are her strengths. And I'm so grateful to God for that. Adam and Eve, they did not help each other. The purpose of a marriage is not just to make the other one happy. Hopefully, it will happen. But it's to help each other get to heaven. You might be asking, what does Hulk have to do with the soulmate? Anger? No. Actually, growing up, I believe that he had another superpower other than strength, and that was super hearing. He could listen very quickly from far away. And the point for us today is, do we listen to our spouses? To our husband, to our wives? Kids, do you listen to your parents? Yeah, next time your dad's going to come, you know, Hulk listening, you know? Hulk ears. Make sure you're listening to your parents. Another type, the encourager. The Bible says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. I'm going to keep it short, but me and Michelle, we moved back from Brazil in 2004. We left the ministry. We had no place to live, no food to eat. It was a very difficult time. We came back to Atlanta, and somehow, I believe actually, the Holy Spirit guided us to find John and Nemo again. Actually, they were in our wedding 20 years ago. So we were looking for jobs, desperate. They opened their house, they let us use the computers, they even left their doors unlocked. Don't do that anymore today because I just told 300 people. So, man, we would go there and, you know, use the computer. They would feed us. Meanwhile, said, bro, you need a haircut. You know, you need to be a little bit more presentable. Let me get you a haircut for free. And it was a very hard time. I remember 2 months after, no jobs. I had a pig bobblehead on the dashboard of a car that I had borrowed, and I was so desperate that I hit a hole on the road, and the bobblehead, the head started doing like this, and I started asking the pig bobblehead, am I going to find a job today? And he was like, yes. I was like, amen. Now, when you find yourself, you know, talk to a pig bobblehead, you hit the bottom. Big time. It was a very challenging time for us. God, we gave up everything. We come back. I don't even have a place to live. I did not sign up for that. But I had someone like John and Mimo to help us. When I lost my dad, very challenging time. In the Wednesday after Father's Day this year, Perry came to me and said, how are you doing, bro? I was like, I'm okay, you know, hanging in there. And he said, I was thinking about you on Father's Day. I was praying for you. He still has his dad here, which is great. But it really touched my heart, and I felt very loved and encouraged because he took the time to express that he was thinking about me. I was thinking about you, how it must be for you to celebrate Father's Day without your dad. Let's be sensitive to one another. Very briefly, the Bible says, welcome him in the Lord with great joy. About encouraging one another, we've had a lot of people who have moved into our congregation. Some have been baptized. Some moved from other countries, some from other congregations. And I was thinking, how am I treating these disciples of Jesus who have just moved in? Am I showing them the same love that I would show John, who I've known for more than 20 years? How do I hug my brother in Christ? Do I hug like Drew? He was excited to see his brother. He saw Drew so green, said, brother! And opened his arms to give him a big hug. And Drew's reaction was, hi. It is important for us to be open to make new friends. One might say, I already have my circle of friends. I have enough friends. But that brother, that sister who is reaching out to you might be in need of a friend. So it's not about you or about me. It's about giving to that brother who just moved in, who's trying to figure out where things are, who's trying to feel loved and welcomed. So let us hug like Judah, not like Bruh. This. The last one. Spiritual mentor. The Bible says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. The one another relationship is a spiritual tool to help us to be more like Christ. There's a time to teach and there's a time to be taught. A student cannot be a teacher if he's not first a student, having a learner's heart. Here is Simon. Simon, he's living in Africa now. When he comes to town, he texts me, said, gee, I'm in town. I text Michelle, Simon is in town, and she says, go meet with him. So I will change my schedule to meet with Simon, and Michelle's like, yes, do this, bro. Do this, because you need help. And she's right. I sit there with Simon, just opened my heart, and he's quoting scriptures left and right. We talk, another scripture. We talk, another scripture. That's exactly what I need, a spiritual friend. Then they moved away. Carl and Donna started discipling us. We would go out for dinner once a month. I was getting my steak, about to put it in my mouth to you know, enjoy my delicious steak? And that's the question that Carl would ask me. How is your marriage going? Boy, I was about to choke. I was like, whoa, can I chew my steak first? He's like, a few minutes later, how is parenting going? Straight to the point. Let's not waste time with sports. How is marriage? How is parenting? How is your life spiritually? And that's exactly what I needed. You might have found that you've had a prophet, an encourager, a spiritual mentor in your life. But let's not stop there. Let's be these types of people to others and pay it forward. I won't spend too much time, but here you can, the pictures can speak for themselves. If you're not listening, we cannot thrive spiritually. If we're listening, we will grow spiritually. The question for us today is, do we still have the heart teaches how to, and you fill in the blank? A brother came to me, and he just moved not too long ago to our congregation. He's in our family group because he lives around our region. And he came to me a couple weeks ago. He said, Galileo, can we get together for some discipling time? I almost fell. I was like, wow. This is a brother who is seeking help. Not because I can help him, but just his heart. Can we get together for some discipling time? Another brother in Brazil, we went to visit in July. We were there. He got married 4 months prior to that, and he came to me and said, Galileo, can I get your number? You know, I got married, you know, 4 months ago, and I wanted to get some help on my marriage. I was like, wow. And that's not because of me, but what I'm talking about is their attitude teaches. Do we still have this attitude? As we continue on our journey to heaven, may we have a deep desire to want more, to take the initiative to be close friends with God and close friends with one another. To God be the glory. Thank you.
Hello. Thank you, Galileo, once again. Just going to give you guys a heads up. Grooming does not stop after you get the girl. So he has a good way of looking. Not the best cleaned up today. But we got a few announcements. I'm going to pray. And we're going to have a closing song for everybody. So, but first announcement, we have an appreciation dinner. Coming up 2 Wednesdays from now, so that'll be December 6th. Please see your family group leader on what you need to bring for that midweek. Second announcement, our Christmas program is on Sunday, December 10th at 10 a.m. Please invite your friends and families to come celebrate Christmas with us. And our third reminder is just a reminder of considering to triple up on your benevolent offering this coming Wednesday night. Thank you in advance. Let's pray. Dear Father God, thank you so much for today, God. Thank you for bringing us together, God. Thank you for having times like Thanksgiving, God, to just recall what we're thankful for, God. As Galileo was saying, God, that with having a relationship that you pursued after us, God, to be able to have a friendship with us, it's not something that we deserve. But, God, something that you've given to us, God. God, thank you very much for the kingdom, God, that we don't have to run this race alone, God, that we have friends that can hold us accountable, God, that can guide us towards you, God. Thank you so much for the love and the support that you give us each and every day. That give us the means to live, God. God, I pray that you be with us the rest of this week, God. Allow us to walk in the way that you want us to walk, God. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.